Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher and welcome to the latest edition of our newscast.
My name's Jim Hunter and I'm from the Isle of Man. I'm a retired school teacher. I was a school teacher at St Ninian's High School. Still work there part-time. I'm a travelling marshal and before being a travelling marshal, it's a prerequisite of the travelling marshal job. I was a competitor in the TT and the Manx Grand Prix. So combined total, this is my 40th year of sort of riding around the mountain course.
Yeah, so 40 yeah. years, so you've probably seen anything and everything.
I'm just thinking of Beth Espy's Journey to a Dream. it has been a dream, really, sort of a dream come true. Yes, for somebody who always loved, and my ambition in life was always just to compete on the mountain course. My parents used to bring me here on holiday. And I can just see across to, almost through the mist, I can see across to Onchan. And we used to stay opposite Port Jack Glen on Royal Avenue West. And both my brother and myself, all our holidays were here. And I grew up wanting to be a TT racer. So yeah, I achieved that. And when I stopped riding, I was lucky enough to be asked to be a travelling marshal.
So I guess for anyone who maybe is new to the TT or doesn't know, can you sort of explain what the role of a travelling marshal is, what you sort of do on an average race or practice day?
Okay, so let's think tomorrow I'll report to the clerk of the course at 9 o'clock and then I'll have a little wait. So if something happens on the roads, like and I think it was, let's say Monday, there was an oil spill on Bray Hill. Before the roads closed, the marshal's notified. So perhaps you might get called out to take a look at the road surface and make a suggestion as to whether a sweeper is needed, how the road might be prepared, ready for racing. So that happens before the roads close. And then once the roads are closed, there's eight of us in the team. And we all have round about, my stretch is from the start to Ballacrane. And I ride that stretch of the course. I'm just checking for marshals, checking for the road surface, checking to make sure all the barriers are in place, and then pass a message back to the clerk of the course just to say yes, we're all set to go. Mm-hmm. And that sort of relays around the course. So amongst the eight of us, mm-hmm. we effectively inspect the whole course. So then once the race starts, we're as they say, the eyes and ears of the clerk of the course. So at Ballacrane on one of the race days, I had to black flag a couple of riders because they'd had a report of their bike smoking. So I have to pull them in, then you have to make a judgment as to whether or not it's safe for them to proceed and record the time that they've been stopped for. So there's that aspect to it. And then there is, of course, if there's an incident, then we have a really key role there. So I'm at Ballacrane tomorrow. So if any incident occurs between Ballacrane and Douglas Road Corner, Kurt Michael, Glen Helen, for instance, then we would get a call to go to that incident. And if you can imagine what it's like, let's say it's the superbike race and it's lap two and you have to go out into the... This is why you need to be a past competitor, because I'm not saying you can ride at the current racing speeds. Well, I certainly can't, but you can ride at a reasonable speed and not get in anybody's way. And you get to the scene of the incident and you might have a couple of minutes then before the helicopter arrives with the paramedics on to manage the incident and just to make sure it's properly flagged. And I remember Jack Wood was clerk of the course when I was first appointed, and he said your first responsibility is just to make sure that any incident that's occurred doesn't get any worse. So make sure it's flagged properly. I know it sounds pretty obvious, but in the hullabaloo of an incident, just making sure that, I don't know if there's any oil on the road, that's dealt with. Make sure that the riders approaching the scene of the incident, the flag signals are correctly positioned. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the immediate care of the person that's been involved in the incident and getting them to a position where the helicopter lands. In an ideal scenario, we'd have somebody on a stretcher with a crash helmet off waiting for the helicopter to come in. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, the confidence and teamwork of the marshals at locations has risen to a different level. Mm-hmm. And through the training that they do and the incident management courses that they do and the minimum manning level, There's always enough marshals at a location if anything's happened. They're just better prepared, and from that point of view, the whole job is so much easier.
Yeah.
Than it was 33 years ago, yeah.
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 I feel like every year we talk about how integral the marshals are, but yet they still feel like those unsung heroes. Like, actually, the amount of stuff that the marshals are doing and are on top of on a race day.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I still love being involved. I love being involved in the event, and that... It does. I mean, people talk about Team Orange, but it's most certainly is a team, and there's a lot of camaraderie there amongst marshals, and everybody looks out for each other, and we all want the same thing. We all love being involved in the races, and we want the races to go off as well as they can. And I think we all, because we love the event, we want to feel that we can put something back into it.
Yeah. I mean, you've touched on it a little bit there about the sort of the transition there from being a competitor to a marshal.
Yeah.
So is that like a set in stone prerequisite actually to be a travelling marshal?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so you mentioned part of it being like that you can reach, you know, somewhat race speeds, maybe not quite to get to a thing, and knowing how to manoeuvre around active riders. But what other sort of skills pass over then from being a competitor to a marshal?
I guess that's a really good question, but I guess compared to how an orange jacket marshal, somebody's stood on the side of the road, their perception of where you might put the flags for an incident might be slightly different to yours as you would see it as a rider. Because as a rider, you can almost picture in your head approaching an incident and how much notice you would need and the best place to position the flags before the incident. And if you haven't ridden the course, you might not see it from the same way. So that's perhaps one example of how having had the experience of competing on the course can affect the decisions that you might make when you're marshalling the course.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've got a question for you, which is just out of interest in terms of watching like the coverage and things.
Yeah.
When you're on the course as a competitor then, seeing things like the flags, seeing things like your pit boards and stuff,
okay, yeah.
How on earth are you seeing the detail on them as you're flying around at 120 miles an hour? Like, what is that like?
Well, the flags, an awful, as in discussion with the Deputy Sector Marshal, Alex, at Douglas Road Corner yesterday, and there's an awful lot of thought goes into where the best place to position the flags is. It's not just something that sort of stand there, that'll do. A lot of consideration goes into line of sight between marshalling points. So in an ideal world, right from the start, the whole 37 miles, you've got line of sight between marshals. So that's important. But also, again, that consideration for, okay, where's the rider going to be looking? And you need to be, well, first and foremost, somewhere where it's safe to stand, but also somewhere where you're in their line of sight. They're not going to have to physically look for it. Yeah. It'll just be there. Yeah.
Yeah. I just find it mad that, like, it can
You'd be amazed what you notice.
Yeah, the position or you know, how much, like, was it last year we had one that just a pit board said, go faster, you know, and how on earth they're reading that at this, because, you know, you've seen the onboard footage and you can't even imagine it as a non-racer, but the idea that you can focus on
the boards,
a board as you're flying past is...
The boards are really, really important as a competitor, because you know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And in between pit stops, that's the only reference you've got as to your position or how many seconds ahead the next rider is. So it's really important.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed what you notice when you're riding around the course. I know it's not the same. I had Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby on the back of my bike for the legacy lap was it? Can't remember now.
Sunday, wasn't it?
And we were riding. I know it wasn't obviously not racing speed, but we were riding around the course, and it was amazing how many people. You could see Sarah's dad, David Cretney, was there at the quarter bridge, and then Tim Crookwell was here. I just kept seeing people, and Sarah did as well.
So it's hanging on for dear life.
Well, actually, no. She said afterwards that she imagined that she would be, but it was quite a compliment. She said she felt quite at ease on the back of my bike, and she was taking the hands off waving to people. So
I can't confirm if I'd be that confident on a bike going around the course.
No.
I suppose then you obviously have seen a million different types of TT over 40 years in terms of weather, conditions, riders taking part, everything. This year's been one of those difficult ones, hasn't it, in terms of bad weather, stopping play, really. What goes into that as a travelling marshal, having to constantly assess the conditions of the course, I would take it?
Well, I mean, I've said it once already, but we are the eyes of the clerk of the course, and throughout this particular race period, and you know, we're constantly giving feedback as to what the visibility is, and that happens like all the time, particularly before the races. And you get asked to report on road conditions, and I was up at Brandywell Cottage a couple of nights ago, and the mist was coming in. One of the things that we do now that perhaps we didn't, because we didn't have the technology, is it's nice to be able to take a photograph, and you can take a photograph and share it to a group, and that sometimes is more useful than trying to explain it.
Yeah,
it's not a subjective thing because they can see it for themselves, and then in that respect, the technology has really helped.
Perfect. And so another thing as well, that we have certain things that come up every year, you know, in and out for TT. One is always, you know, trying to really hammer home the message of staying off closed roads and things like this to spectators. And listening to the marshals as well. I mean, what's the message to people, you know, from the marshals? You know, they're trying to keep everyone safe, aren't they?
It wasn't the best of starts, I understand, because my recollection is at the start of practice last Monday, within a short period of time, somebody had to be reprimanded for walking on a closed road, and that's really disappointing. And I remember seeing pictures posted last year of people that had come onto the road at Craigna Bar, and people who were playing football at the top of Bray Hill, and a ball had come onto the course, and stuff like that. And I have to say, my experience is that I haven't seen any of that sort of behaviour. I haven't seen any negativity. And again, going back to yesterday, when I was at Douglas Road Corner, there were a couple of people who were sat, and their legs were, they weren't overhanging the bank, but their legs were not quite on the bank. And the marshal came along and said, look, would you mind? And absolutely no problem. People were more than cooperative. And they just needed to be asked, and they were happy to move out of the way. So my own personal experience is that people, again, spectators, they wouldn't want to think that they're doing anything wrong. But I know, I appreciate this. There's obviously a minority out there that message needs to hit home with.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say 99.9% of our visitors, you know, they're here for the love of it, aren't they?
And also exceptionally patient. And I haven't heard any grumbles. You would think that because of the changes to the race programme, you'd get people sort of shoulders going down and sounding disappointed. But no, I know it's one of those things, and they're very understanding. And
I suppose it becomes one of those things then, the second that we actually then have bikes flying around the course, that's forgotten, isn't it?
It's like, oh, that's true,
there's Dunlop flying past at, you know, 120 plus.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All it takes is a good few, a good race, and that's it.
All the
negativity and inconvenience gets forgotten about.
You mentioned, touch wood, God forbid, when we have incidents around the course, that, you know, you can kind of be one of the first really on the scene, giving, not you know, intense medical, you know, attention, but, you know, getting them ready for the med or and that sort of thing. I suppose, I don't know if you can speak on behalf of the riders, but in terms of that for them, it must be a comfort that it's a fellow past competitor, you can kind of calm them down, keep them speaking to you, and, you know.
Yeah, that does make a difference, because when you've been involved for a long time, then there's a lot of people who are competing. And I attended an incident I can't remember what evening it was.
It's okay. It's all we've all lost track of time this week,
But I got called down to Craigna Bar, and it was a local rider called Dave Rigby had an incident there. And he was perfectly okay. But just to be able to say sort of, hello, Dave, and how you doing sort of thing, I think I'm not sure it makes a difference to him. I don't know. But there's somebody there that you can
They probably recognise you when you...
Yeah, possibly, Oh, yeah. No, not you.
he might have been the one I saw, actually. That's one of the best videos I've seen from this TT is a rider... hang with me here when I say one of the best videos, but a rider's come off at the Craig, absolutely fine. Yeah. The next shot of the video, he sat there on his phone to his team. Obviously,
oh, that may be the same
Craig,
incident.
The same one. And my favourite comment on the video was, there's not a better place to come off on the TT course. You crash there, your bike, you know, try and forget about your bike, you're fine. You can just get a pint at the Craig and wait until the end of the race. That or up on the mountain where you can get the tram down.
That just shows how good the Rectocel barriers are, because that he went into those barriers at a fair speed.
Yeah.
But then he was out the following day and competing in, I think it was the Super Sport race, and he finished 26th. So, you know, it's obviously didn't dent his confidence.
They're a different breed. you all are. I suppose then, this is such a cliche question, but what's one of the best memories you have of TT, whether it's marshalling or competing?
I've got a lovely memory from earlier this week, if I can tell you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was in the Halewood Cafe, and I quite often go there before the races start, so you can get a bit of peace and quiet and have a coffee before you go out on the course. And this guy came up to me and... He said, you don't recognise me, do you? And I looked at him and I thought, I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, I was in your class at school. And I said, why? He said, yeah, my name's Ian Clark. And I thought he was referring to St Ninian's High School, but he wasn't. He was referring to Pershore High School, which is my first teaching job. And then he said to me, I remember that assembly you did about the TT, and I said to him, that assembly was 40 years ago, and you can still remember it. But the gist of the assembly was, I was basically saying that everyone thinks that motorbike racing is really dangerous and this, that and the other, but I'm sort of wagging my finger, you know, it's as dangerous as you make it. Anyway, 2 days later, I was at a race meeting. I fell off and I broke my ankle. And I had to walk around the school for the following month on crutches. And I don't know if that's why he remembered that. I don't know.
But all the teachers probably got a laugh out of that one.
It was. I've done a couple of assemblies in schools this year. And it just struck me as odd that he could remember it. So I thought, yeah, it's probably worth doing.
It's probably a big
Maybe that's why he was here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what gave him the idea of...
He's loved TT since then, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It probably makes a lasting impression. It's like Dean Harrison lives in Laxey now, doesn't he?
Yes,
he often
course.
Goes into the... He's been into the primary school sort of telling them about the TT. We've probably got a lot of budding TT races from that.
Yeah, absolutely,
Oh, brilliant. Well, I'm going to let you go because it is your day off today. So thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.